Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. As Congress grapples with another stimulus effort, many South Dakotans are just focused on their own bottom line. Money is an emotional topic, even if you're just deciding whether or not to pay someone to clean out your gutters. I sat down with Rick Kaler over Zoom recently to talk about that topic. You can find the video of our conversation on the In the Moment YouTube channel. Here is that conversation now.
Hey, Rick, how are you?
I'm well. It's good to see you.
It's nice to see you as well. What a delight. I want to talk a little bit about, you know, because you're in your office, I'm in my home office, and so many people are spending a lot more time at home lately. And when you look around your home or your home office, maybe you see some of those things you'd like to have done. And you wrote about this in a column recently as far as people tackling home improvements and thinking, do I do that myself or do I pay to have it done? Why pay for something that you can do yourself? And of course, that's not a small thing for you. That's a big thing because it gets into money beliefs and what we think about what we should be doing with our money. Tell me a little bit about how you came upon this idea to sort of explore from a financial planning and financial therapy perspective.
It's a pretty common topic in money scripts around, should I do it myself or should I hire it done? So you can get into, shame if you don't do it yourself. It can mean failure. You ought to know how to do this yourself. I mean, there's a ton of emotional baggage around doing this. And actually what spurred me to write this particular one was a friend of mine who was going on a trip, and he's in his 70s, and his wife said, you know, we got the gutters need to be cleaned out. And he thought about it and he said, you know, I don't know. I usually do it myself. I want to leave. How about if you just call somebody to do that? And she thought that was a pretty good idea. And she says, okay, I'll do that. But should I just go ahead regardless of the price I get? And he thought, and he's a pretty frugal guy. And he said, well, you go ahead and do it unless it's really expensive. And she says, well, what do you want me to do then? And he thought again. He says, you know what? Just go ahead and have it done. At this point in my life, I have more money than energy. And that just really caught me, that having more money than energy, and it doesn't mean that he is flush with cash or wealthy or rich, but that something that he would have elected years ago, that he had more time and energy to do, now he has more money and less time and energy.
Right. How can this help us think about saving and planning for retirement, planning for our futures, planning, you know, for the days ahead? You have an analogy of energy storage.
Yeah. I, as I thought about this, and a friend of mine once asked me, he says, what's money? And I said, I think it's energy. And he said, well, that's a wrong answer. That's a function of money, Rick. Money is a social agreement. So with that in mind, a function of money being energy, I think of it as storing, like you would store energy in a battery, that it's there to use at a time when we need it. And so I thought, you know, that's just like saving and investing an emergency account, perhaps, where we are saving up energy for a time that we need that energy. Yeah. And it occurred to me, we talk a lot about saving. We talk a lot about saving for retirement. Usually what motivates the limbic system, which is where 90% of all our decisions are made, they're made emotionally, is something that has some emotional juice, like saving for retirement so I can spend 3 months a year in the Bahamas or 3 months a year in Phoenix, or I can travel a lot, or something that has a lot of emotional juice. Usually it's that decision that kind of wins. And I thought about, well, what would it be like to say, you know what, why don't you look at putting aside 20% of your income so someday you can have your gutters cleaned?
Maybe not as important to you when you're 20, but
I think you just get this blank stare like, yeah, what? And yet, you know, in a person's 70s, that can become a pretty big deal. That, you know what, I don't have to do that myself anymore. I can hire it done. And there's a lot of emotional transition that goes, especially for somebody who's frugal, especially for somebody who's done it themselves. I mean, that alone can bring up guilt and shame and, oh my Lord, I'm going to be spending my savings. I'm going to go broke. I mean, that in itself can be a lot harder than it would seem.
Yeah. The neighbors are going to see, is there a sort of a community or cultural money belief that can operate on you? Like maybe to you, that's an easy decision to make, but then you're kind of worried about what other, you know, you're talking about outdoor work. If someone comes over to mow your lawn, and you're the only person in the house in the neighborhood who does that, do money beliefs work on a community wide level is my question.
Absolutely. Money beliefs are very cultural and WWOPT, what will other people think, is a big one. Yeah. And it could be in the neighborhood, everybody mows their own lawn, but the rich guy over there has his done. So there could be that type of projection. It can be on the car that you drive. I remember one fellow finally bought a Boxer. I didn't even know what a Boxer was, but I guess it's a type of Ferrari, if I remember.
Okay.
Porsche. Maybe it's a Porsche. Anyway, it's a very expensive car. And he was talking. He says, yeah, I haven't had it out of the garage in 3 months, except one time. Oh, why? He says, I just feel so shameful to be driving around in it. It just, I can't stand to really take it out of the garage. And I, you know, how sad to save up and get the car of your dreams and then feel so much shame around driving it. But it's definitely what would other people think.
I wanted to ask you about women and not so much about retirement. And, you know, we mentioned cleaning out gutters and doing yard work and driving cars, which might fit into sort of gender stereotypes for the things that men deal with. But I remember reading something about, it was an article written for women about paying to have things done so you had more time to work, and looking at, you know, how much you make and what you're doing with that money versus how much would it cost you to have somebody you know, if you take your laundry out, or if you had a housekeeper in, for example, and this vast sort of cultural and personal idea that women are supposed to be doing this kind of work and they shouldn't have somebody else do that, which mothers deal with all the time. And what does it look like to be a good mother, a good housekeeper? So this isn't just a retirement conversation. This is a conversation about money beliefs and how they work on us, or how we engage with them in our working years too, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I can think of a number of personal stories around this that my wife would carry. Like, you know, let's hire somebody to clean the house. Absolutely not. You know, that is something that she's supposed to do. And look at all the money that will cost, and on and on. I don't know. Maybe it's the same for men in fixing the car, doing the lawn work, or some of these more stereotypical gender activities. But I do think there's a huge issue there. And I think it's even an issue when the woman is working outside of the home and then just carries this money script that, well, it's the woman's job to fill in the blank. cook the meals, wash the clothes. And so they're doing this double duty. And if you sat down and put a pencil to it and said, well, you know, you could actually work a little longer if you didn't have to come home and do these, and you're earning so much an hour, and, you know, actually it'd be a more wise financial decision to hire it done.
Yeah. How do we begin to unpack some of those, especially if in a relationship you might have two different sets of money beliefs, where one person says, let's pay to have the house cleaned, and the other person says, why? I mean, my parents would never have done that. Why? That's not thrifty. How do you navigate those relationship, money scripts and deal with something that it's mutual? House cleaning is a mutual thing. Childcare is a mutual thing. Yard work, mutual. And we don't agree on whether or not that's a wise thing to spend money on at all.
Yeah, you started with the hardest one. And that's when you have disagreement. You know, it can be challenging enough if you have some agreement, but with a disagreement, that takes some real communication skills, some setting down and going through money scripts. So it can be really helpful to do some type of exercise around that, where you each take some time to explore, well, where did that belief come from? And to start building some understanding of your partner around why they carry that money script. They don't carry that money script typically just to upset their partner. There's some real foundation to where
it are you sure? Are you sure?
The psychologist that I wrote a number of my books with would always say, when couples fight about money, it's their money scripts that are fighting. It's their conditioning. It's the way they view the world. So we need to start first with really hearing and understanding where our partner is coming from. And that can be pretty difficult, especially when we think we're absolutely right and we have the answers and we have the right thing to do.
Do you think young people in this upcoming generation, whether it's Gen X or millennials or Gen Z, are changing those cultural money scripts about what we should, you know, what is the role of money and energy? You know, we're certainly seeing a shift from, you know, people buying houses to, you know, buying more travel experiences or whatever. Are we also seeing the scripts change a little bit as the culture changes? And if so, million-dollar question, how will the pandemic continue to shift some of that on a global scale even?
Yeah, money scripts do shift and change from country to country, from generation to generation. As you were saying that, my question to myself was, well, certainly money scripts can change. The question is, are they becoming more flexible, or are they just a new set of rigid scripts? Like, yeah. Well, don't buy things, buy experiences. And right. If you buy things, then you're wrong. So I think the question would be is will newer or younger generations become more flexible around those money scripts? And I don't know, left to their own devices and their own humanity, probably not. And as far as how will COVID change things? I was just talking with one of the technicians before we went on, and how we're used to now on national shows seeing people in their homes, in their offices, in their bedrooms with cats walking by. Right. I mean, look at the tolerance that is happening to something that was unthinkable 5 months ago.
Right. Yeah.
So that's not necessarily a money script, but certainly, yesterday, I looked, there's this growing bulge in my back pocket, and I looked at this thing, and there's a certain task I do that I get paid, and I cash the check, and I put the money in my wallet, and it's my walking around money. and it's getting uncomfortably large. What's going on? Well, I'm not walking around.
No walking around.
And there's places now in Rapid City, businesses that are not accepting cash. Mm-hmm. And part of that is to be as touchless as possible. Well, there's a lot of things around that. We know that when we don't touch our money and spend it, we spend more. Mm-hmm. So how will that impact?
Right.
So absolutely, there's going to become new money scripts, and the pandemic is challenging money scripts, is causing a lot of people discomfort because things aren't working the way they used to work. Like one person in our paper said, well, I'm just not going to go to any business that won't accept cash. And that's certainly within their right to do. But what happens when that becomes the norm? And how does that challenge one's money scripts? So.
Yeah. So much to think about, more to talk about. We hope to have you in conversation with us again very soon. Rick Kaler, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I always enjoy it.
Rick Kaler is a wealth advisor, a financial therapist, the author of several books, and he is right here in Rapid City as well. You can see that interview on our In the Moment YouTube channel if you'd like to watch several interviews from the show.